Hey girls, and welcome to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. I am super excited for y'all to join me for this week's episode as we continue on with our 2023 series of Sunday School Stories. This is a time for you to hear from different women of God, their perspectives, their experiences, their testimonies, and how it relates to scripture, how they can see the Bible come to life in their own life. And this episode is no different. Today, I have the honor of introducing Miss Destiny Jackson, and she is the founder of Bruised Not Broken podcast. She's a podcaster, speaker, and writer, and her podcast is actually available on all streaming platforms. I actually discovered her on Instagram, and honestly, I tell people everybody's ministry is not it. Okay. Some people's ministry is a little superficial, or I can tell their heart's not really in it, but I saw Bruised Not Broken on Instagram. I immediately knew that there was some substance, and I was like, man, this girl is in her word. And so I reached out and asked her to be a part of this episode. So I'm super excited for her to share her own experience as we discuss a specific Bible story. And I'm excited about it. So Destiny, welcome. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you, Stephanie, for having me. I'm excited to be on here and just to talk to those who are listening. Like, this is new for me, so I'm very excited.
I love that. All right, before we get into the questions, just tell the people a little bit about yourself. I gave them a little sneak peek, but tell us some fun facts, a little bit of background story about you.
So I'm from Maryland, the DMV, as most know it. I'm from a small town. I call it West Bubba because we're literally off the grid. But I'm a country girl from Southern Maryland, St. Mary's County. And a little background about me, I went to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and that was also in the country, so I didn't very much from home, right? But that allowed me to be in isolation and just gave me a different shift of perspective on life. I'm a Saints fan, y'all, go Saints. and I love music. I really love music. And the ministry kind of started off with me being a girl in a church singing for the choir. My mom was a choir director. So, you know, if you're in the church, you just got to sing if your parents are a director. But that's how everything kind of started. But we'll talk more about that once we get into this episode for today.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You give them a little sneak peek, but you're like, you got to stick around and get the rest.
No, exactly. I didn't want to give too much.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm a church girl as well, sang in the choir growing up, led worship. I still lead worship at church. So I definitely know where you're coming from. I am not a country girl, though. I am city girl through and through, not even going front. I tried country life, and it's cool for like a weekend, but long term, I need big buildings. I need traffic. I need...
No, I totally understand. It's crazy because now I live in a city, and I'm just like, ooh, why is there so much noise? Like, it's just... I'm not used to being by a main road. I'm like, I hear horns every now and then, an ambulance, something. I'm like, yo, this is not peace and quiet. Why did I choose to move here?
Yeah, that's just like lullabies to me. I could go to sleep with all that just rushing through my ears. That's awesome. Well, let's get into today's story. So we are going to be talking about Jesus mingling with the tax collectors and the sinners. And for those that are maybe tuning in for the first time, these episodes, we're going through the quote unquote famous Sunday school story. So these are the ones that you probably heard if you grew up in church. You probably did an arts and craft project around it somehow. And these are stories that are the quote unquote more famous ones. But a lot of times people still have not... applied them to their own life or really dug deep into it. And so what the main goal of this is for others to see, like, man, this can be me, this can apply to me. And so we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And so just a quick heads up, this passage or this event is actually found in more than just the book of Mark. It's actually found in Matthew and in Luke as well. And those three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as synoptic gospels. So that just means that they're all kind of saying the same thing, but just from slightly different perspectives. And so that's why we're seeing it again and again. It's not that it necessarily happened three times, but it's just three different writers writing about the same event. But I chose to go through the one in Mark. So in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13, we're reading about Jesus. This is while he's here on earth. And I'm reading from the ESV version. It says, he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. This is referring to Jesus. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard of it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So just a little bit of background context. So Matthew is who is referred to in verse 14, Levi, Matthew, that's the same guy, tax collectors. They're like the most highly offensive position you could have in society. Everyone hated the tax collectors. No one was like, "Oh, it's okay. He just had to have it as a job." Everyone's like, "You suck. No one wants to be your friend." And Jesus calls him not just to be like, "Hey, how you doing?" But he's like, "Hey, come and follow me. Be my disciple." So Jesus has already been like kind of flipping everything upside down. He has gone against a lot of the rules of society, and this is no different. So we're seeing that here in verse 14. And then in verse 15, it even goes into more detail about the fact that while he was even in his own house, the tax collectors and sinners were reclining with him. They're eating with him. They're chilling with Jesus. And it says tax collectors and sinners. So it's just letting you know, these are the outcasts, the people that, quote unquote, should not be around Jesus. And that's exactly what the Pharisees think. And we see that in verse 16, when they basically are asking the question of why is he with those people? And then Jesus replies and lets them know, these are exactly the people that I'm here for. I'm not here for those that are, you know, just trying to live to the utmost potential and just seem like I got it all together. He's like, I'm here for these people. These are the sick. These are the broken. These are exactly the people I'm here for. And so we can see that show up in scripture. So I really love this passage. And so I just wanted to, Destiny, I wanted to bring you into this. So you chose this passage as what you wanted to talk about on the episode. So first and foremost, what are things that, or I guess, what's the reason in general, like why you chose this passage?
I chose the topic, Jesus mingling with the tax collectors, because I felt like I've been an outcast, you know, and probably many people can relate to this, but in the years 2016 to 2018, it was like kind of a dark phase for me. And in 2016, in September, I believe it was the 26th day, around 12:04 a.m. And the only reason I remember this is because I was in an accident. It was like a near-death experience, and it was traumatic. So basically, it was a flash flood warning on my campus, and my car submerged in a ditch. So wow. It was filling in my car, and my car doors weren't working, so I couldn't open the door. And there were three other ladies with me. So I was taking a resident home because I didn't want her walking in the weather. And so I was like, okay, I gotta think quick. And I didn't know what else to do, but my windows were still go down. So I'm like, everybody, you know, try to push your windows before it stopped working all together. And we were able to swim out the windows. And luckily, some of my friends, they came and helped them out. But I was the last one out the water. And girl, let me just say this. I thought that was it for me. Like,
no, seriously.
I couldn't swim because the wind was so strong. I was getting pulled back towards the ditch. So every time I tried to swim forward, I would get pulled back. And that's another testimony. But it was just like, it was scary. And as I was trying to swim forward, my car was actually sinking at this point, and the back wheels were above my head. So when I looked up, I'm like, this car can just come down on me any moment. I'm like, you know what, if this is it, then this is it. But as I closed my eyes, because I literally kind of like gave up, I'm not going to lie to you. As I closed my eyes, there was this hand that pulled on me, and somebody was coming to get me out of the water. And that day after, I was just asking around like, hey, do you know who this is? Because it wasn't nobody that I knew. My mentor didn't know. My teachers didn't know. And I'm like, you know, this is an angel. And I still, to this day, I always say it was an angel, because nobody knew who the guy was, but they saw him, but nobody could find him, you know? So it was,
wow.
It was like a miracle. Like, it was crazy. And as that was happening, as we were in the accident, people were recording us. They were mocking us. And it was just like, that just shows ignorance. But at that time, I couldn't process that. I was just so angry. I was so filled with hate, because it's like, instead of helping out a person, you will record them in this tremendous, you know, experience. Like, why would you do that? And the next day, the news came to our campus to cover the story or whatever they wanted to do. and I see my car on TV. I'm like, I know they're not about to cover my car. Like, nobody even like reached out to me. So like, why are they covering my car? So basically, that was my sophomore year of college. And at the time it was Mr. Sophomore, and he spoke about my incident and basically, you know, called me stupid on live television. So I was going through what I just went through on top of being mocked and just having these videos up of me basically almost drowning. And it was just like, I was so lost. I was so angry, but I was lost at the same time. And my parents, they tried to like, parents are there for you, but sometimes they don't know what to say because they never been through that experience. And so it was a lot of people trying to, you know, give me advice, but I wasn't hearing them. So I want to say from 2016 to 2018, I was lost and I didn't want to hear anything. Not going to lie, I kind of lost my faith because it's just like, I'm thankful that you helped me out, but it's like, it's traumatizing, it's scary. It's, why are people mocking me? Why is this happening? Why are they talking about things they don't know about? And it's like, I felt like the outcast. Like if anything could happen, that was the experience that made me feel like I was literally a bystander. Like nobody understood me. I was really misunderstood. And in 2018, another incident had happened. And I just felt God, like, I felt Jesus tap me on my shoulder. And it's like Levi, he was, you know, at his little booth. And Jesus was just walking by, but instead of walking by him, he stopped. And I was in my cluster at the time. This was my junior year. And I was in my cluster, and my coping method was me smoking. I'm just being completely honest. I love to keep it, you know, real with you. That was my coping method. And I felt like, you know, Jesus was like, no matter how high you get, the problem is still going to arise. And I was in my cluster, and before I could like even go to sleep, I just felt him say, you know, come follow me. Come read this. And I had my mom, I might have a Bible somewhere. So the Bible was definitely in my room. So I just opened up the word and I came to, you know, this scripture, and I don't know. He made me like visualize it, like picture myself at a table with Jesus, tax collector, sinners. I'm a sinner. So it's just like, you know, I'm picturing myself with Jesus at a table with other people. And I don't know, like I started crying, but it wasn't like I was sad. It was because I was seen. Being at the table with Jesus, I am at an eye level with him, and it's because he sees me. And it was that, like right there, lifted so much weight off of my shoulders. And it was like, everybody else may not understand me or everybody else may not see me, but Jesus saw me. He doesn't see my mistakes. He doesn't see my outer appearance. He sees my heart. And for him to, all that I've been through and all the things that I did, you know, to dig myself in a deeper pit, he still forgave me. He still saw me. And I want to say a month later, I watched his sermon. He just kept like showing up. And, you know, sometimes in college, we kind of venture away. And that was definitely me. I wasn't going to church. My excuse was, I'm at school. I don't need to go there. My mama at church, she praying for me. No, yeah. I need to be in there myself. So I saw this sermon, and it was Sarah Jakes Roberts. And the sermon was, girl, get up. I almost broke down. I was like, what is going on? Like, this is not me. Like I watch sermons, but not to this extent. So I found myself taking notes, and I found myself journaling. And that's where my love for journaling like kind of started. And then like a week later, I found a church out there and I got saved again. And it felt completely different. Like, being raised in the church is nice, but that doesn't mean the church is going to be in you still. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
When I got saved again, I'm like, what I knew then, I didn't like really understand. But now that I'm older, I have a different love, you know, for Jesus. And it's like, it's all about relationship. So just relating to Levi, I was like, Jesus could have walked past me. He could have gave up on me, but he didn't. He didn't leave me. He saw me for who I was. He saw me for where I was. And he saw, you know, who I could become. And that just spoke to me like I'm worthy. And I still got more fight in me, and I still have purpose, you know? So don't give up.
Yeah, I love all of that. First, thanks for sharing that story. I love transparency. I love keeping it real. And so I love that you gave all the different elements about that. And it's crazy just how things all I guess, kind of worked out as far as the angel literally rescuing you. But then there was the mocking, which is like, I was expecting you, I, honestly, when I heard the story, I thought you were going to be like, yeah, they shared it on the news and was like, man saves women out the car. No. Okay. That's not where we're going. People are going to be trifling. Okay, cool.
Man.
But then just like seeing your journey of basically returning back to Christ, that's amazing. And I love that you basically already had that vision of sitting with Jesus. And what you said is, I was crying, but not because I was, you said not because I was saved, but because I was seen.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, it's not because I was sad.
Oh, sad, not because you were sad. Yeah.
So yeah, it was just,
I love that. In Genesis 16, I think it's 16:13, it's when Hagar, and she says El Roy, the God who sees. And that's like, I know God has so many names, but that's one of the ones that just sticks out to me so much, because like, you see me, like, you're not just the savior of the world, you're not just the savior of those people, but like, you have not just saved me, but you see me. And I think being seen is like an underestimated or underrated thing that humans need to feel. But it's not just being seen by another human, like, you're being seen by the creator of the universe. Like, that's a big deal. And man, it hits so different. And I can only imagine that's exactly how Matthew felt, because, or Levi felt, because as he's being a tax collector, people are going to him just out of necessity, like, because they have to, it's the law. Like, it's different when someone chooses, like, hey, I want to go hang out with him. But they're just coming to him because they have to, and they probably coming up their stank face attitude. I don't like you. You know, you're the bad guy here. And so Matthew or Levi, he's probably just like, I'm just doing my job. You know, like, I don't know how he got there. That's not my business, but he became a tax collector. But now you switch gears, and now Jesus is not just walking by him and just making eye contact. Maybe he already had more of a softer look on his face than the crowd. But he didn't just look at him, like, he saw him and chose him. And that is a lot of our stories as well, where we've been the outcasts, we've been canceled by people, we've been pushed off as, you'll never be anything. You need to go over there and hang out with those people. You don't fit into this crowd or that crowd. And then Jesus comes on the scene, switches everything, and all of a sudden you're in the priesthood, like, you're royal. And it's like, how did I get here? And
no, seriously.
It's like, wait, how?
It was like that. And it was not gonna say it's crazy. It's crazy because we're using our understanding, but Jesus, like, he already knew this was gonna happen. But it was just like, I saw myself as less than, and I let those circumstances define who I was or define my identity. But just being saved again, it was just like, oh, this is different. Like, y'all can't talk to me like how you used to talk to me. I'm not old destiny, I'm new destiny. Like, I'm new and improved. Like, I'm not, reintroduce myself. Like, I am not who you thought I was. Like, I'm a whole different beast. And I'm proud of that. And, you know, sometimes we will condemn ourselves because we didn't know better. But when you are like a child of God and you really walk with Christ, you know that I have authority and I have power inside of me. And I'm not going to play dumb for nobody or apologize for my anointing. And I'm not doing that no more.
Period. We're not.
Like, no, sir.
Like, yesterday's price is not today's price, okay?
Like, it definitely isn't.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that so much. And one thing that stuck out to me is that the Pharisees just really could not understand why Jesus would be hanging out with those people. And it's funny though, because these are the people that are like trying to like tear Jesus down, but they still recognize he has some level of authority, he has some level of holiness. So why is he with those people, right? And it's interesting, when we reintroduce ourselves to people are like, what, God wanted you? Like, oh, you're saved? And it's like, yeah, the blood of Jesus works for me too. Surprise, surprise.
Like, no, I'm not, I'm glad to be changing, I'm glad to be growing. A lot of people use that as, oh, you phony, oh, you fake, you know who you used to be. That's okay. You can't take everybody where God is taking you. So I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. When people are like, you've changed, I'm like, I'm glad. that's the whole goal of this.
No, process. Seriously.
Yeah. And I just love that Jesus is so intentional with going for those who, I guess, don't fit the quota or don't meet the standard that other people would have, whatever standard that they have. You know, it's like he's looking at the heart, he's looking at the soul, and he sees that I want that person to be my child. I want that person in the family of God. I want them to be in relationship with me and not just forsaking me and trying to fit into the world. And so I love, one of my favorite things about this is seeing the fact that they were in his home, like with him. He was so intentional. I think it would have been good even if he had just stopped and was just like, hey, how y'all doing? You know, maybe stop for a little mingling. That would have been cool with me. But like, he took it a step further, and now they're in his home. And I love the element of just like bringing them in to like, you are safe here. I want you to know that I see you, I love you, and I want you, you know? There's that level of intentionality there. And I've seen that in my own life of how God was so intentional with coming after me and, or you know, waiting for me to come back home running, after doing my own thing. And he's still inviting me in the house per se. And I love that we get the opportunity to sit at the table with him still. And I think this is a beautiful, this verse really kind of sums up what it is that Jesus did, you know, like, because now that he's the mediator between us and God the Father, like we, because of Jesus, we get to sit at the table. And it doesn't matter what we've done, what our positions were, how many, you know, how many drugs we've done, how many people we've slept with, whatever. No matter what, he is like, yes, I understand that. I already know those things and I still want you. And that's just, that does it for me every time.
It does. And it's just funny because it starts off with one person, but then it's like a parade of other people. Like, it's basically how we should be showing God in the word, how we should be representing him. Because when we show that, hey, God still accepts you or God still loves you, you're never too far gone, other people will come to the faith too. And it's just like God showed that to Levi. Now he got a whole, you know, house, a whole table of tax collectors and sinners. Like, oh my gosh, if he saw him, then he could see me too. Like, if he loved him, then he could love me too. Like, that's how we representing God. God does not show favoritism. You know, you don't got to be perfect. God is not about perfection, because if he was, we wouldn't need him. So it's just like, it's a beautiful thing to see. Like, listen, he chose one disciple and others came. And so with him seeing me, it's like, okay, I'm choosing you. But it's not just for you, it's for those you're connected to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty that we can bring to the table of showing our vulnerability, sharing our testimonies, letting people know this is who I was and this is now who I am, completely different. And it's all because of him. And you get to be brought into that too. And the enemy knows how much power there is in sharing our stories. And so that's exactly why he doesn't want us to come out of that shame. He doesn't want us to be bold enough to share about things that from our past. And I know I've experienced that too. My past is messy. There's a lot of taboo things in my story. And so there are going to be times when I'm like, oh, I don't want to share it. Like, but it's like, I'm not that person anymore. Like, I shouldn't be worried about that. But when we share our stories, there's so much power and there's so much freedom that other people get to experience because they realize I'm not the only one. There's hope. It happened for her. It can happen for me. And this is what happened literally in this story. And so we get to bring people to the table so that they can meet Jesus and say, hey, he did it for me. Come sit down, girl. He'll do it for you too.
Definitely. It's like when my brothers, they see me, it was like, I don't know how you went from little Destiny to who you are now. And it's just like my mom, she will call me the evangelist. I said, stop doing that. Stop putting titles on me, girl. I love God. I love Jesus, but don't put no titles on me. Okay. I'm just going to talk about Jesus. Like, I can't talk about my life and then not talk about him. Cause I mean, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. Like, that's kind of where I am. But my brothers, they like, you know, I love how you speak about him. And I'm like, yes, I know you go out, you may go to the club or whatever you want to do, but that's not going to stop me and my relationship with you. Okay. And that's not going to stop God from loving you. I said, you have been saved plenty of times. And I want to like let everybody else know that too, that you may be at the club on Saturday and go to church on Sunday. God is not, you know, shaming you for that, but he wants more time with you. That's what I tell everybody. I'm like, he just wants more time with you. The same time you give to the world, give to God.
Keep that same energy.
Yeah, you know, that's all. It's that.
No, I love that. I love that because, and that's a great point that you brought up because along with seeing the Jesus meeting with the people, there's also the side of what does that look like for us believers when we know that, you know, when we're family is not saved, when our friends aren't saved, what does that look like? And Jesus gives us that example, but I love the soft but truthful answer that you gave because when you're saying that, like, hey, still go to church, God still wants you, a lot of people aren't going to give that response, you know, those Christians, right, that they're going to be like, you need to get out of that, blah, 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 blah. And you literally said the thing that will change everything, spend time with him. You spend enough time with God, you will be convicted. His holiness.
Literally. Like, it's like being in a church, it's like my family's church, and I have a lot of elderly there now. So, you know, elder people can be a little stubborn. And so my grandpa, he chose me to speak for Youth Sunday. And I was like, sure, but what I'm going to tell you guys is probably going to step on some toes, but I don't care. And so, like, you know, a lot of us, you know, saints, we forget where we came from. And you got to realize that you ain't go cold turkey. When God changed you, he didn't just change you overnight. It took you some years, maybe even a decade, but it didn't just happen overnight. And I want us to stop treating the, you know, younger generation as if, you know, it can take a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to change instantly because it's not fair to them. They have to experience things. They have to learn and live through things, but they have to learn that lesson on their own. They can't just do it because you want them to do it. You know, it's oftentimes we shame them and think that's going to bring them to God. That's just going to push them further away. We need to love on them like how God loves on us. And that's something that he taught me because it was just like, dang, how you love me? Like, I've been through so much. Like, I have, you know how sometimes it's like, you know, you get up 7, but you fall in 10. That was definitely me because it's like, oh my gosh, girl, get it together. Like, how you going to make this mistake this many times? Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm still here. And it's just like, well, I got to do this. I got to, you know, give that same measurement to somebody else because it's not fair for me to be like, oh, God forgave me and I can't even forgive you. Like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, I love that because somehow we have become the Pharisees and we think that we have some level of ability to judge or to, yeah. I tell people, there is not a heaven or hell that I can send you to. That is not my, that's not my call. I am here to lead you to the one who makes the ultimate judgment, but who wants just the absolute best for your life. And that's such a good way to go about it. Letting them know, hey, just go spend time with God. Still show up at church. You may be hungover. Pull up in the doors anyway. The Lord will sober you up so fast.
No, seriously, with the praise and worship, maybe a little loud. Okay. Maybe get a little headache, but you'd be all right. Just get in there and just sit down for a little bit. But like, don't use that as an excuse to, you know, not spend time with God. And it may take them some time, but I always tell them that, like, listen, the same time you spend scrolling on Instagram or the same time y'all spend on FanDuel, I be having to tell my boyfriend, I'm like, you on FanDuel again? All right, well, you need to go in there and spend some time with God. I make sure I say, we doing a devotional together every morning. Before you open up an Instagram or any other media site, read your devotional. Like, because oftentimes, even just, you know, being in this generation, social media is our thing. Like, we live on social media, and it's like, okay, now, I need to get my word before I start my day. And it's crazy, because I'm like, oh, I'm that girl now. Like, I can't start my day without, you know, talking to God. I can't start my day without praying or reading his word, because I realize that if I don't start my day, you know, with God, oh, I'm cranky. I'm irritated. Any little thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what's up with you?
Yes, I immediately, I'm like, something's wrong. Oh, my bad. Let me go get, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? And it's like, it's not even like a, okay, yes, it should be a duty, I guess. But when we say duty, it has a negative connotation. It should be something that we should do. And it should be a daily thing. There is no law of like, oh my gosh, you have to read this every day. But it's grown to be that in my life. Like, if I don't, I'm cranky. I'm all my emotions are all out of whack. The whole day, I'm like, why she breathe like that? Why does she chew like that? You know, I'm just being mad for no reason. I'm like, let me go pray. Let me go get a Bible or something.
A daily bread, because I definitely need your bread daily, because this is ridiculous. Like, I don't know how I do this without you. Like, I'm just
irritated. Yeah, no, and it's like, that's why it calls daily bread, because the same way you start feeling off when you're hungry, I feel spiritually hungry. And I'm like, nope. And so, yeah, I take care of it first thing in the morning, because my mind is the most clear. I haven't checked my emails. I haven't gotten my, you know, list of things for the day. And so I'm able to focus the most without my phone, just my Bible, and just be in the word, because it's so necessary. We literally can't do this without him. One thing that you shared that I wanted to just go back to real quick is how you were talking about just having like family members that aren't saved. And I think that's a really common, relatable thing that a lot of people have. Most people don't come from families where everyone in the family is saved, maybe mm-hmm. in their house, but not their extended family, stuff like that. And so I think I would love to just hear different things that you have learned as you're reading in the word of ways to be able to still love, but without, I guess, compromising your own faith.
So family, what I realized is like, first thing I had to realize is boundaries. Because family, they're close to you, but they can get under your skin like nobody else can, because it's just family. They know you, and family, they know your past too. So, you know, they'd be like, oh, little Destiny, you remember you used to do this? Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I always put in place the boundaries, but one thing I have to remind myself is don't judge them. Just because they're family, sometimes I will unconsciously do it. It's like, don't do that. So I have to reel myself back in, like, listen, you made mistakes too. It wasn't easy for you. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy for them. And everybody is on different walks, you know, in life. My path is my path and their path is their path. Maybe God will meet them in 10 years. You know, I don't know what experience is going to be, but what I do is continue to speak a word. Everybody know when I'm coming to my mama's house, I'm going to have something to say. I'm going to pray for somebody. I want me to pray over the food. I got you. They always look at me. Oh, I'm going to do it. But it's just like when they start, it's Black people. We love a little gossip. Okay. I'm not going to lie. So I had to remind my mom, like, girl, like, you want somebody gossiping about you? What God say about God? She said, here she goes. I said, yep, here I go. I gotta remind y'all, because we can't be doing this. I don't need you to spread that into me, because, you know, I'm good. This is why boundaries have to come in place. But I'm like the constant reminder, like, listen, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. But I'm going to let you know when you're wrong and when you're right. Like, that's just me. And it's like, I can't not do that. So when it comes to, like, my loved ones, even, like, you know, my grandpa, he's just as stubborn as can be. He's a really a guy of tradition. But it was a point where I had to tell him, just because it's tradition doesn't mean it's right for me. You know, so I had to start breaking tradition. I said, sometimes breaking those traditions is breaking those strongholds, because we've been following the ways of your parents and their parents. And it's like, we don't got to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're so bred in this survival mode because of what they've been through, you know, our ancestors and what they've been through. But it's like, when are you going to get to a point where you're not just surviving, but you're also thriving? When are you going to do more than just get by, but understand that Jesus came so that we could have abundance? When are you going to get to that point? So it's just like, sometimes I feel like, oh God, should I say this? And if I feel like, you know, if it comes up more than once, oh, I'm gonna speak it. But it's like, I don't hold back with my family. And it can be tough sometimes, because you do love them and they can get under your skin. But it's just a constant reminder that you are their connection to God.
Yes.
Like, you are their light. So you got to remind, like, you know, just remember that you are the light that shines bright on them. And when they see your light, they're like, oh my gosh, God can do the same thing for me.
I love that. You are their connection to Jesus, because it can get easy to lose sight of that when they're saying stuff that you're like, oh, I know you didn't just say that, you know?
Remind you of years back. I'm like, oh my gosh, we even thought about that.
Yes. And the reason most people bring up their past is because they're still stuck in theirs. We won't go there. You know, that's another episode. But I think it's very interesting, because we are a lot of times in that position, just like Jesus, where the tax collectors, the sinners, whatever we want to call them, are sitting at our table. And that's such a beautiful time for us to display our transformation and our light. But it's very easy at the same time for us to shy away and be like, like you said, like, maybe I don't want to bring that up. I know that's going to ruffle some feathers. I know that's going to stir the pot. But sometimes God is calling us to stir the pot, because we don't know when our last time seeing these family members are, these friends, we don't know when that will be. And we don't want to have that on our conscience. We don't want to have that blood on our hands where we could have shared the gospel. We could have stood firm on the word of God and been 10 toes down for the gospel, but we chose not to. And so there are going to be a lot of opportunities for all of us, whether it's our family, our friends, our coworkers. I've had quite a few different experiences where it's come down to what will I say in this moment? Am I going to choose to glorify God, or do I want to just shy away and just kind of smooth things over just to fit in with the crowd? We're literally called to not be conformed to the world, like Romans 12. We are called to stand out, to be set apart. And so because of that, there are going to be times when we're going to have to confront love and truth all in the same conversation and let them know, I love you, but I have to stand firm on what I believe about this, or, you know, what the Bible says about this. And so I just encourage people that as you are in those positions to, first of all, be filled with the word yourself, and so that you're able to pour out to others. But don't feel like you have to have all the right words or all the right scriptures. The Holy Spirit will guide you on what to say, and you will be able to be what's needed in that moment. And even if they're not ready to fall out and give their life to Jesus, that moment, that you're planting seeds, and you will remember that. And that's what Jesus was doing while he was here with these tax collectors and sinners. And I love that it said that they were currently in that moment, tax collectors and sinners. That wasn't a past tense thing. That wasn't a, this is what they used to be, but the Lord worked on them and then they sat with Jesus. No, they were literally still in their mess, still. They probably, did they do drugs back then? I don't know. But they were like high off of whatever they did, or they had just finished like sleeping with a prostitute or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then they showed up at the table. And yeah. Jesus was like, come on, sit down. And so it's like, we need to, as ambassadors of Christ, as the example, we need to do the same thing. Don't shy away from having those people sit at your table, quote unquote, or be in your conversations, or, you know, go out to lunch with them or whatever. Don't shy away from those opportunities, because those, literally, like Jesus said, those are the people that need it the most.
Definitely. And one thing I learned, because a lot of, like I said, the elderly, don't toss the scripture at me, because I don't toss the scripture at me and then think that's going to change anything. Especially if it's out of context. Like, I'm like, did you read the whole thing? Like, a lot of people start doing that. You know, even nowadays with our generation, like, I'm glad they are in the word. Yes, I am very happy. But you can't be tossing scriptures at people like you ain't never fall off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, that's not right. And sometimes, just like how Job felt when his friends came around, he ain't want no lecture. He just wanted to be comfortable. Don't be tossing scriptures at me. I don't want to hear that right now. You know, there are, be like, okay, God, why me? And you may be mad at God. You don't want to hear a scripture right there. Just come for me. Just be there. But I had to learn that, because it's like, okay, girl, what's the scripture going to do for them? It ain't helping them right now. Let me just be there and let them know, like, hey, I support you. I got your back. Because in doing so, they want to come back to you. And then, you know, you can open up the word to them. But let them, you know, feel comfortable first, like how Jesus made me feel comfortable and safe. Don't try to shut them down with a scripture and show them that, oh, I should be shameful. You know, oh, I sin. I'm a sinner. We all sinners. Somebody woke up today and said, like, we sin every day. And nobody is free from sin. Like, we are naturally deceitful. We are naturally sinful. It's just in our nature. And I used to have that one that used to love just throwing scriptures at me. And I was like, girl, I couldn't wait till I got older, because, you know, my mom's like, respect your elders. It was a girl. When I came back from college, I couldn't wait. I was like, okay, just toss this one scripture at me. I said, this is out of context. Because she would say, you know, the love of money was evil. It was that one, that scripture that everybody loves to talk.
My at. Gosh.
Girl, because I would, at a time I was working a couple jobs and I was just trying to, you know, make ends meet. When you in college, you're trying to pay things off. So you're not going to tell me, you know, the money evil. God has said to fall in love with money is evil. It doesn't mean that money itself is evil. Like, that's not what he was saying. And don't take it out of context, because now you're misconstruing his word. And I dislike when people like take apart his word to fit their circumstance. That's not his. That's something that you want to be his word, but it's not. I had to put that, it was on my heart, girl. So let me just. Yeah.
No, that's so good, because we need to understand that once we catch on fire for God, a lot of us are so zealous and we just want to go save the whole world. And that's awesome. I'm here for it. But zeal without wisdom ain't always it, because you're ready to go, but you don't have the wisdom behind it. Now, this doesn't mean that you just shy away and don't say anything, but take a minute, be wise about how you're going to say things and put yourself in the other person's shoes that you're trying to minister to, that you're trying to reach. How would you feel if that was coming your way? How would you respond? What would be like your defense mechanisms? Would there be any? Would you be receptive? These are things to ask yourself, because like you said, everybody's not ready to get scripture thrown at them. And a lot of people probably have already, by the people that are just like, here's the Bible. And now you come in and you're like, oh my gosh, another scripture. And you're like, no. But it's yeah. like now they're shutting down. They don't want to hear anything else you have to say now. Because all they heard was another person throwing scripture, possibly out of context. They don't even know what this verse actually means, but they just heard it at church and they're just throwing it at me. And now we have done nothing to help them. And so, like you said, it may come down to just listening to hear where they are, how they got in this position, instead of just saying, you living with him and y'all not married, you doing this and that. How did you get here? What's your financial situation? What things happened in your life? Like, let's just have a conversation. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. And you don't even have to be present sometimes, but he can use you in that moment to shed light on the situation and eventually get to the point where you can have the Bible studies and you can bring them into the truth of God. But I tell people, being on fire for God is good, but fire can purify or fire can consume and destroy. And it's all about how we are approaching the situation. If we're so on fire for God that we're just going around just scripture, we may just be burning people, you know? Yes. Yeah. But if you flip the script and you are on fire for God, but you're choosing to take time, assess the situation, you can allow the Holy Spirit working in you to begin to purify them as they say yes to Jesus, as they go through this process of sanctification, which we are all on. That's just mm-hmm. becoming more like Jesus every day. When we're on that process, you will see the Holy Spirit begin to purify them. And it's not going to be because you threw seven scriptures at them and was like, take it.
No, definitely not. Not gonna be because you're patient.
Yes.
I can go a long way.
Yes, for sure. And I think that was one small bit of what Jesus was trying to show us while he was here on earth, as he gave us example of what it is to be in the world, but not of the world, and how he was perfectly holy, still completely sinless, yet he was still mingling and reclining and having dinner with the sinners and the tax collectors. And so it's like, don't be scared. Like, their sin's not going to like jump on you. Like, go shed the light with them. And I love that he gave us that example. And I love that he invited me to sit at his table too. So that's amazing. Thanks for sharing so much of your story and your life experiences as well. I know that so many people will be blessed to hear your story and how it related to scripture. And then I know that it will get the wheels turning in their own brain of mm-hmm. how it can relate to them too. So thanks for that. I appreciate that.
No problem. You're welcome. Like I told you, I was a little nervous when I came over here. I'm like, you know what? Whatever comes out. Cause I'm like, listen, God, just use me in the way that you know how. And oftentimes we do want to keep some things to ourselves, but eventually, you know, it's going to come to light. Cause somebody somewhere need to hear your testimony to know that, hey, I can do it if she did it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was great. That was really great. So for your podcast, switching gears a little bit, Bruised Not Broken, can you tell us a little bit about how it got started and how it got to where you are now?
Yes. So in 2019, I started fasting in 2018 when I got saved again. I didn't really know the concept of fasting. So when I went to the church, I'm like, Luke 5, verse 28 stood out to me because it says Levi literally left everything, rose up and followed Jesus. And I felt God tell me, leave everything. I'm like, people, like things, like I gotta leave everything, or you just say like some things. And he was like, everything. So I'm like, okay, let me try fasting. And this is where I try to tell people, like, sometimes, you know, something is better than nothing, because you can't just change overnight. And so I was like, let me fast for a month. I don't want anything. I don't want any substance. I want to truly depend on God. So I fasted for that month and I felt so refreshed. Like, it was crazy. Like, I was energized. I wasn't tired. I wasn't sleepy. I ate better. You know, I was more productive. Like, a lot of times we want to be busy, but busy isn't productive. So I was more productive and I did more with my time. I spent more time with God. And I realized prayer and fasting go hand in hand, because there's going to be times where you're tempted to do things. It's like, okay, God, help me out, because I don't want to do it. I'm trying to focus on you. Like, help me to do just that. And so he showed me how much money I can save if I wasn't following into my own temptations. So when I fasted that month, 2019 came around, I said, I'm going to go for 3 months. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I want to go for 3 months this time. And I made it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. Like, the time was just flying by. But it was like, I journaled more. I notated more. Like, I meditated more. And it was just like, I gave myself more to God. And I realized what it means to be more of Christ and less of yourself. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, I get what John the Baptist was saying. Like, I don't want to be me. You know what I'm saying? To live is Christ and to die is gain. So I don't want to be myself. I want to be more like him, because at the end of the day, he knows what I need. And so when I fasted for the 3 months, I heard him say, you know, you should do a podcast. Because at that time, people were coming to me for an advice. I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I'm still trying to figure stuff out. But my, like, people would come to me and ask for encouragement. You know, they was like, I know, you know, you go to church and all this other stuff. I don't know why that's the first thing people say. But it's just like, it's just like, what? Like, you can read about them too. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to, like, you know, push you away. But like, okay, cool, I'll pray for you. And I was like, I'm not just going to say I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to actually do it, because prayer really moves things. So I'm going to really pray for you. But people used to come to me and I would just have these long sessions. I was like, I should be a therapist or something. Like, why did I not do this in college? But I graduated and I was like, okay, maybe I should do a podcast. So before getting my podcast equipment, I just recorded myself. And then I played back my recorder. I said, oh my gosh, is that how I sound? It took me 6 months to get over the sound of my voice. I said, God, I don't like this. Yeah. I don't like this. I feel like Moses. Like, you know, how do I end up stuttering this part, but then I did fluently towards the end? And why do I sound deeper in this part, but I sound higher up here? Yeah. What's going on with me, but I don't like the way that I am sounding. But he was like, do you care more about, you know, how people hear you, or about what I have to say through you? And I'm like, ooh, okay, so you just gonna step on my feet. So I fasted again for another 3 months. I saved up some money and I finally got the equipment for my podcast. And so I'm like, okay, but before I launch it, I need to, you know, I went to pray on it. I said, okay, so what's the name going to be? And I learned that God is the CEO. Any choice I make, any decision I make, you know, I go to God. Because at the end of the day, the only reason I have it is because of him. So I'm like, what should I name this? Like, I don't want it to be corny, God. Okay, I don't want to name it something that's somebody
else. Corny.
I don't want to be no corny name. Like, I want to be like, oh my gosh, when they see the name, like, oh my gosh, I can relate to that. Just by looking at the title.
Yeah.
So I was writing stuff down, and I was just writing down things that came to mind. And this was at the point where I was working at the doctor's office. And yes, I was working at the doctor's office. I'm also journaling on the side. So that was like my thing. So I was like doodling on the side, and then like Bruce Not Broken came to mind. And then when I went home, I was like, why? Like, why this? And I just felt him saying, you know, it's a shift in perspective. Like, when you break something, you break a vase, when you put it together, it's not going to be how it once was, but when you're bruised, it heals. And yes, there are points in life where we'll feel shattered, we'll feel broken, but God is saying, you're just bruised. You know, when Jesus told you to follow him, he didn't say you were going to, everything was going to be all right. He said, you're going to get beaten. You're going to get persecuted. People are going to talk about you. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to go through some troubled waters, but you're going to come out better. And so that's how Bruised Not Broken came about. And it was so crazy, because it was like, well, what am I going to talk about? Like, are you going to give me topics to talk about? Because I ain't going to push record if you ain't going to talk through me. So I started like writing scripts for myself. But it wasn't until this year that I just let God use me. Like, I will write scripts and, you know, go in my Bible and then just like have a start, middle, and end. And then this year, I'm like, I'm just going with the flow. I'm going to have a topic to talk about, and I'm going to write like my notes on there. But I just want to like speak what he wants me to say. And so I didn't write this whole season 5, I didn't write a script for anything. I wrote down notes. And it's so crazy. When I go back and I listen to some of the episodes, I hear this fire inside of me. And I'm like, where did this come from? Like, I feel like I'm over here preaching to the people, and God, I ain't no preacher, but you was really speaking something through me, because clearly I am amplified and I am just turned up. Like, I don't know where it came from, but it's just, it was beautiful to see how I let him use me. I was vulnerable. I let go, and I'm like, God, this is a business, so this is a platform. Like, you gotta lead me in the right direction. It was like a little bit of trust there. You know, some of us have trust issues like myself, but it was just like, at the end of the day, he did his thing. He continues to do his thing through the podcast. And I just wanted to show people that you may have gone through some things, but you got to know that you're going to get back up and be even better. And you're not the only one going through it, because I'm going through it with you. Like, I am not perfect. There is so much to God that I am still learning about, that I want to show people that there's not going to be a destination. It's a journey. You know, you're always going to be on this journey with God until just forever. It's a lifetime thing, you know, until you get up to the heaven. You're still going to be learning about God. Like, oh my gosh, God, you this bright. You this beautiful. I can't even see you. I got to put shades on. Like, it's that type of, you know, relationship. But it's like, I didn't want to get on there and just speak like, lesson one, lesson two, you got to do this, you got to do that. Because nobody's going to take anything away from that. It's about being humble and showing people that I make mistakes. I'm still tripping up. But this is what God showed me through my experience. And I'm talking to you today because this is what I learned last week.
Yeah.
So that's where the podcast came about.
I love that. And I know that people definitely can relate to that. And it always hits different when people are sharing their specific testimonies. And I tell people that's like the best, I wouldn't say the best Bible. The best Bible is the Bible. But sometimes your life is the best thing that people will hear. A lot of people aren't going to go to the scripture, unfortunately. So you're the Bible that they're looking at. They want to see, what's this Jesus thing you're talking about? And it comes through these experiences like the one that you share. So I love that. So I want to make sure that y'all tune in to Bruised Not Broken. You can find it on all major platforms. And y'all listen, get some information, listen to her stories, listen to her testimony, so that you can see in your life, man, I thought I was counted out on this, but maybe there is hope. Maybe there is a chance of recovery, of renewal, of refreshing in that area. And let that be an encouragement for you. And so, Destiny, last thing, I know you got your podcast, but you also got some books. Tell the people about your book and your devotional that you have out for them.
Yes. So Steps of Faith is my devotional. And again, I was at the doctor's office when I was working, and in between patients, y'all, I would write like devotions. I don't know where it came from. I'm like, I would read a word, but then I would write my own interpretation of, you know, what I got from that word. And then I just felt God saying, make this a journal, make this a devotional. Like, people can read this in the morning, or whenever they have free time, they can read it, you know, one each day. And so that's how Steps of Faith came about, because devotionals helped me a lot. You know, it may be a small scripture, but that scripture has so many meanings. I always say that the word of God is like a diamond. You can look at it from different angles, and it's like, it means something through different times of your life. Like, when I was 5 years old and I heard that Jesus wept, I'm like, oh, why is he crying? Then, you know, now I'm 25, it's like, oh, Jesus wept. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that just shows how he loves us. You know, it's so much deeper. But Steps of Faith is definitely something that you should look into, that you should get, because it's also about real experiences as well. Every time I look at a scripture, I'm like, well, what does this mean to me? And what could this mean to somebody else? The word isn't always convenient, and it's not always comfortable, but it's always going to help you to grow. Excuse me. But Steps of Faith was my first book, and Overcoming Turbulence was my second book. And I didn't want to do a devotional this time, because God just wanted to get in my business. And I was like, I don't want to like be vulnerable. I don't want people knowing about, you know, what I went through and all this other stuff. But I talked about just like my sex life and overcoming turbulence, because my mom and my dad got divorced. And so seeing my mom dating, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to go through this too. I didn't see myself as worthy, you know, having my mom be a single mom. It was really tough. And, you know, being a little girl, just seeing that perspective, you would think that, okay, I got to do what she does, you know, because that's my mom. And so I would do things that I didn't want to do for the approval of others. Mm. And did a lot to me. It caused a lot of trauma to myself that I had to unravel when I got older, because I always thought that I had to prove myself to somebody, but God already told me that I'm worthy, you know? And in order to overcome, I first have to look at things for what they are. And I have to stop falling in love with the potential of something. Oftentimes we'll be like, oh, well, they have the potential to be this. What are they showing you right now? Like, you will hold yourself out for the potential of a person for like 5 years. It's like,
yeah,
if that is not that person, you know, now they're not going to be that person with you then. You know what I'm saying? Don't wait on nothing. When God has somebody for you, you will know, you know, when the time is right. And it's crazy because I've been in so many, I call them situationships, because I never said this is my boyfriend, or he never said this is my girlfriend. It's always friends. And so, or friends with benefits. And so I'm like, God, I'm over here praying for a man. Like, where's my man at? Like, what's happening? And how am I supposed to, you know, show myself that I'm worthy? And he was like, you already are. Do you not know that you're a masterpiece? Do you not know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you not know that there's a fire within you? And so overcoming the turbulence is just me being raw with you guys and showing you that you may not see yourself as worthy, but you are more than worthy. You are loved, you are lovable, and you are worth the loving. That's what overcoming turbulence is all about. And it's crazy because just a little bit about me, I never had a boyfriend. I never brought anybody home because, you know, Black families, you bring somebody home to be like, where your little friend at? Like,
I'm where your little friend?
I'm for that. Like, I had one little friend in high school, and my mom used to bring that, and I was in college, she would still bring that little friend up. I'm like, yo, it is 6 years later. Please leave it alone. But yeah. Never had a boyfriend. It is so crazy because in 2020, I had this friend, but it was just, I saw myself doing way more than I needed to for that person to see me for who I was. And so I went home that night and I was literally crying like, God, when am I going to meet somebody that like truly likes me, truly loves me the way that you love me? And I kid you not, it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. Like, I'm like, this is, you know, these are like some evil hours. This is a witch hour. What you calling me for? You know, just being real with y'all. And then this is my boyfriend. He was like, I was just thinking about you. I'm like, what? He's like, I just want to talk on the phone. I'm like, what? And I was crying. So I'm over here trying to, like, you know, wipe my tears away. Like, I was already like, oh, what? For real? So he was just like, you know, I was just thinking about you in my mind. We were just talking that whole time. And then the next day, I'm just like, he called me again. I'm like, God, what you doing? And it's so crazy because, like, that whole, the rest of 2020, this happened in November of 2020. So the holidays going by, you know, he just showing nothing but love. I'm like, God, what you doing? And it's just like, you know, when God sends you the right one, because I literally was like praying to God, like, when am I going to have somebody to, you know, see me for me? And then hours later that happens. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And then now we're here in 2022 and it's just like, wow, I'm difficult. I'm a complex person. And I'm spoiled. I'm not going to lie to you. It's some moments I'm just like, what you doing, man? I just want to be loved. Show me some affection, you know? But it's like, God, it's amazing. Like, don't ever count God out. God is not a man that he shall lie. He will never abandon you. But sometimes you just got to wait on that right one.
Yeah. And so I love that you shared that. And I know that they can hear a lot more of your story in that book, of just seeing your journey of things that you've overcome. And I love that where you are now with your relationship, but just in general, with who you are in Christ now, like, you are fully walking in your purpose, in your identity, and things that God has called you to do. And so as they're reading this book that y'all got to go get, y'all got to read the book. As you're reading this book, see the hope that there is in Jesus, because you're reading this from a place of, I'm no longer there because I have overcome those things. So I definitely want y'all to check that out. Overcoming Turbulence and Steps of Faith. Links will be in the notes for y'all to buy those books. And also make sure, once again, that you tune in to Bruised Not Broken. Destiny, thanks so much for sharing your story, your heart, your transparency, your vulnerability. It's needed. It's so appreciated. And I know that the listeners will be so blessed by it. So thanks so much.
Thank you for inviting me. Like, I love this conversation. I'm like, an hour went by already, girl. Shoot, we could keep on discussing. Like, it was so good. But it's just nice to have, you know, discussion with somebody who's also on fire for God. Like, we could talk about God all day. But I just love it. So much for inviting me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thanks so much again. Like you said, we definitely could continue this, but y'all make sure that y'all tune in. And thanks so much for tuning in to Christian Girls Pop's podcast. If you have not already, you can follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can check out our website at christiangirlspop.com, and you can check us out on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. So thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Like I said, make sure y'all check out Bruised Not Broken. You can find the Instagram at BNB Podcast underscore. Once again, that's BNB podcast underscore. Make sure y'all check out all the links. There will be available for you all. And I hope that y'all are blessed. Share this with friends and family and let them know that there is hope, that Jesus wants them at their table, and there's so much to be found in Jesus. So thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves y'all so much. Don't you ever forget that.